Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
You know why? I unplugged the computer. That's why.
Yeah, we're good.
I unplugged it. Yeah,
I thought you guys were professionals.
How about now?
We are.
No, he's a professional with the sound shit. I know
nothing. We're
Jarhead who throws mic arms. It's about all I'm a professional with. But.
We're transmitting now. So that's unfortunate because that means everything we just said.
That's cool. We'll do it again.
Recorded or...
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your host, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
And with us,
Worshipful Brother Joe Pisani.
And Kevin Kozlowskis, Senior Stewart, Harmony Lodge number 42.
And as we said before, he gave a nice shout-out to his lodge. I don't do that no more because I'm retired.
It's critical.
But anyway, today we're talking about Native American Freemasonry, where it came from, how did it get here, and what its rules and rituals are.
Mm-hmm.
So, but first, housekeeping.
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 So, I keep losing my...
It's just the headphones.
I know. It's freaking me out, though. So over on Instagram, we've got a few new followers since last time. Let's see. We left off with Bounty Hunter in Greece, I think. So Jason Brunig, G-Man, Metin Sulu, who I believe, from the nature of his name, may be from Finland, my fatherland.
No, I'm going to go with son of Sulu from Star Trek.
Also Continue. A possibility, but Possible. It's got some little dots over the U, so I may have it on good authority over here. John Malloy, Clayton Young, St. Michael's Lodge 4353. What's Sweet. Up, brothers? James Hanoran, Breslin Millsaps, John Gorski, Wisconsin Masons, District 1. What's up, District 1?
Whoop, whoop.
Daryl Moore, Alex Towie, thank you for your service. Joey the Carp. That's awesome. And Bear Russell. So thank you, brothers and friends.
Sweet. We all got shot glasses. You know what to do.
We do.
Ken, you read it. You lead it.
Okay. Brethren, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire good fire. Fire all. Together, brethren.
Viva! Viva! Viva!
Beautiful.
We pulled it together in the end, but...
Yeah.
This thing's really like
it's
driving me insane.
It's actually this one that's pulling it.
Bingo.
How
about that?
Ooh,
that's better. Joe got the short wire.
The short wire today.
Not you, Joe, but those are Joe Zanino's headphones and he has a short wire. Take it from where you want.
I get it. I think it's the connection.
You know what
I do have to fix that.
It's no, it's George, it's Joe's short wire. Mm. Anyway, 5-star review over on Apple.
Ooh.
5-star review. This is my favorite. David Dillon. Thanks, David. This is my favorite podcast. I really enjoy the banter between the hosts. Looking forward to the new episode, the next episode. David Dillon from Lebanon Lodge, number 68, Milton, West Virginia.
Oh, right on.
Nice.
Thank you, brother.
Got to give a shout out to West Virginia.
Yeah.
Especially for females with the Second Amendment.
It's a great state.
Leave it alone. Pick it up what I'm putting down.
Oh, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
About the chick who shot the dude who was trying to do some stupid shit at a graduation party. Love West Virginia. Anyway, think you can lead it?
Oh, we're doing another
toast. Our toast, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, fire away.
All right. Brethren, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Fire,
good fire, fire all.
Oh, he went for gold.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I said all. Together, brothers.
Viva, viva, viva.
Perfect.
That was better.
That was awesome. All right. So apparently you guys got a couple announcements. Things that we're doing in the district or something you want to talk about? Regional, something?
Oh, at Harmony?
Yeah, Harmony. I thought Ken said something about regional.
But. Oh, so the events are like regional in nature, and that we get brethren from like outside the state and outside the district. They're bigger events.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's been a really good year for Harmony in the sense that we're getting a lot of visiting brethren, not just within the state, but actually from other states too. So it's been really it's been really awesome networking. And
so, what do you got going on?
So. I think the next thing we got coming up is our most worshipful brother, Benjamin Franklin Barbecue. That's going to be June 18th. It is a sold-out event. We had to do pre-sale and cap it at 80 guests. But we're doing a pig roast. We're going to have a local cigar lounge come and bring a cigar table.
Nice.
Yep. So it's going to be it's been a really good time, a lot of good fellowship. And on August 20th, we actually are celebrating our 225th anniversary, and we're doing a joint charity dinner with the Mattituck Museum of Waterbury.
Nice.
And they're doing an exhibition on Freemasonry and different other fraternal societies that have a history rooted in Waterbury. So we're going to have a gala event with a private tour and dinner, and it should be a really really good time. I'm really looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be downtown Waterbury at the Mattituck Museum on August 20th. I know that they've been doing a lot of stuff with publicity, and someone actually just told me yesterday that they heard an advertisement for it
on the radio, NPR.
Yeah, NPR, that's what it was. Yep.
I'm super glad that we do advertising and stuff like that now, because for the longest time, we didn't do any of that shit. We didn't put up billboards. We didn't do anything. It's about time we've gotten to the 21st century, you know?
This is the museum, too, that was doing this because it's, you know, they were handling all the marketing, which was kind of cool because, you know.
Well, again, I mean.
In general, yeah, Freemasonry.
Freemasonry never did this stuff. It was always kind of kept hush-hush, quiet. Oh, you're going to be quiet. We don't talk about these things. Yeah. You know, it's like, all right, well, then you can just keep getting declining members because you don't want to put our asses out there, but whatever.
I'll drop a link to the page that has details on that event, too, in the comments on the YouTube video, as well as we'll put them on the Facebook page as well.
Anthony Wurst says, West by God, because we're talking all Native Americans. Nice. Yep. So anyway, what do you say we get into this?
Absolutely.
So this is off a Wikisource. American Indian Freemasonry, and it's an article by Arthur C. Parker, 32nd degree. My MacBook is going to die. Are you shitting me right now? I got 8%. We'll go as far as we can. Yeah, Ken, you also have it up on your computer, right?
I do. And
I got your back, though. Don't worry.
All right, cool. So this is actually, it says Buffalo Consistory, Valerie of Buffalo, New York. So this is actually from 1919. Oh, check that out. Wait. Ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, Northern Masonic jurisdiction. Okay, never mind. I thought it was Southern Masonic jurisdiction, which that would have been interesting.
For Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase through here, but this is, I thought, was pretty cool. This is a little, I guess, what is it called? A quote or something from to the Iroquois. And it says, beautiful thy meditations in thy consecrated forest, fragrant in their odorous incense, when through groping in the darkness thou wert lift up and strengthened in thy earnest firm endeavor, nearer drawn to the Great Spirit in thy ardor of devotion. Interesting that they use Great Spirit, because that's what the Native Americans say. So this is kind of a this is a, I'm assuming, some sort of a, for lack of better words, a Bible quote of Native Americans. So I thought that was pretty cool. I just wanted to read that. And Mr. Cool. Ken, you have an image that you're going to put up of their lodge, correct?
I do.
And this is kind of what it looked like. It's pretty cool. But if you look, it's got the fireplace, seat invoker, the screen, feast. I can't even read it.
Feast kettles. Yeah, they have a screen in front of a fireplace, and then, yeah, next to the fireplace is the seat of Invoker, which is interesting. We'll have to read more into that. And then we have two separate doors. We've got the inner door to the lodge, and then we have a member's door over on the left, and there are guards in front of that door. So that would be your Tylers, I would presume. And then outside of the lodge there, they have a lamp table in the outer room for visitors only.
That must be their preparation room.
Yeah. Yep. And it's set up kind of like a longhouse, too, in that there doesn't seem to be seating down the sides of the, you know, on the south and the north, as you would expect in most Masonic lodges that we're familiar with in our jurisdiction. There's this men's seat, which looks to be kind of like a long bench or something along the back part of the lodge room, and I would guess that would be where all of your, you know, non-participating Masonic visitors would sit. But yeah, and definitely a different setup.
It actually says below it, diagram showing the form of the lodge of ancient guards of the mystic potents.
Mm-hmm.
So again, follow along. This is Scottish Rite, so this isn't equivalent to a Blue Lodge.
Yep,
this is an Indian Scottish Rite in a sense. Yep. And I'm just going to read a little something about it. And it says, a tall bronze... Oh, excuse me. Before I continue with this, one thing I did notice is there's no altar. It says table, but there's no altar.
Yeah, and there's a guard next to the table, too.
Right. But interestingly enough, Native Americans, they don't have a holy book. Everything that they've ever learned was by word of mouth.
Oral tradition.
Oral tradition. So you're not going to have an altar with a holy scripture or a holy writing on it because they didn't have it. They didn't have anything written down. I mean, I know Mayans did, but I don't think there was anything. That was more of like calendar counts and stuff, right? Yeah. The Mayans and the Incans and all that stuff.
Just to make sure we're comparing apples to apples here, like, I'm not a Scottish Rite brother, but some of you guys are, right?
I am, yeah.
So is there always an altar with the Holy Scripture in all the Scottish Rite degrees?
In some form or shape or way. Like, most of the degrees, it's not in the center.
Right.
It's sometimes pushed off to the side. Correct me if I'm wrong.
But it's always there.
It's there when they open, and then they push it off
to the side, but it's still technically, quote unquote, open.
Okay. Yep.
On the side, off to the side, out of the way during the degree play, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And you're Scottish, right, Rachel?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So have you seen the Native American degree?
I have. I can't remember which number that degree. I was really impressed by that one. We watched video form, so I'd like to see one done live. But
yeah, I seen it live. It was pretty wild. It was pretty cool.
And, I bet. Yep.
Definitely a good lesson in that one as well. So
yeah.
The Native American traditions and lore, it is in what we do as well, but this
absolutely,
from what I'm reading, is specific to Native Americans. This is like a Native American setup, Scottish Rite, whatever.
Well, I've actually found an article here that says that the oldest known famous Native American lodge, or the oldest known Native American lodge, was Cherokee Lodge number 21 in Tahlequah Cherokee Indian Nation.
Oh wow.
And it was found on November 7th, 1848. Interestingly enough, it consisted of several different tribes, not only Cherokee, but Choctaw, Seminole, Seneca, Iroquois, Oneida, Mohawk, Shawnee, and William Augusta Bowles was a Mohawk. He was the first Grand Master of all five nations in 1790, helped organize this lodge.
That's awesome.
Also, Crazy Bull, who was the grandson of Sitting Bull, was also known to be a Freemason.
Sitting Bull, he was the one that fought Custer, right?
Yep. And he sat.
Do you know what Custer's last words were?
Holy cow, look at all them Indians.
What?
Well, Sitting Bull's story is amazing because he sat in the middle of the battlefield. He just, you know, as a sign of protest.
Right.
And trying to, which is, you know, that's kind of insane, but it definitely makes a statement when you
makes a point.
Sit in the middle of an active battlefield, especially then when guys were lining up and firing volleys of, you know, shot.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Sitting Bull, right?
Sitting Bull, yeah.
I mean, maybe he sat down because, you know, he's like, I don't got to really do much because we're kicking your ass.
Right? I guess that's the story behind it.
He was a big
advocate of trying to broker peace and not lead to violent conflict. So that was his statement. That's where he got the name Sitting Bull.
That's no kidding.
Yep.
And
I don't know what his grandson did to be named Crazy Bull, but he sounds like he's more up your alley.
Yeah.
It's more like a Joe Pisani kind of character.
That's pretty wild. So let's go. I'm just going to read this a little bit, and I think it has to do with a little bit of their ritual. So a tall, bronze-skinned guide led the way over a ice-rutted road. The journey towards a mysterious east had been commenced. Following the guide in a single file were four and yet three. The four, one was the conductor in whose presence the three were assured safety from all danger, not of their own making. In all, there were five, for such is the order of the journey. Interestingly enough, I mean, I've read before about even in Blue Lodge, it used to be where, you know, I mean, now I think I've talked about this before, right, Ken? Where it used to, well, in modern day, it's like, hey, show up at the lodge. We'll meet you there. We'll start the degree.
Yep.
But I think back in the day, they used to burlap sack your ass and drag you, you know, put you on a horse, and you didn't know where the lodge was, correct?
I don't know about the burlap sack thing, but yeah, it was definitely like more of just a, hey, meet us at the lodge and make sure you're wearing a suit type
right.
of
thing. Sounds
it was
more
like a whole...
Sounds more like my college fraternity.
Yeah. 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 And you have to wonder, there's a lot of college fraternity rituals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at Skull and Bones.
Oh, there's definitely some parallels
from Freemasonry.
From my Greek fraternity, when I went through their program, and I realized there's a lot of parallels between that and some of the York Rite stuff. So
you have to wonder what came
wonder
from
if,
it.
If the founders were, you know, brother Masons that incorporated some of the stuff from Masonic ritual into Greek life ritual, you know.
And I mean, realistically, if you think about it, like, and then again, I'm not tooting our own Masonic horn here, but look at a lot of other fraternities that are, I mean, they have basically the same layout as we do. Look at the look at the Elks. They got the same jewels, you know, and all that stuff.
Odd fellows. Well, it kind of makes sense. It stands to reason because we were here
first.
It
all kind of pulls from Freemasonry. Yeah. I mean, one of the other ones, even the Lions Club, they have different levels of quote-unquote degrees. Another one would be the Knights of Columbus. Same thing. They got 3 degrees.
Yep.
And from my understanding, their third degree isn't far off of our third degree.
It was originally crafted as an organization to attract Catholics away from Freemasonry into a Catholic, you know, specific fraternal order. So.
And this is why we make them follow us in parades. So
doesn't always work out that way. So we were following them last Waterbury.
We were. So. I think next time we go horseback, don't shit all over the road. Feed the horses tacos before we do it. I'm playing around.
We love our Knights of Columbus brethren.
It was in the land of the Senecas, three most powerful confederates of the famous Six Nations of the Iroquois. To this land in the valley of the Cattaraugus, I'm assuming, has journeyed the commander-in-chief of Buffalo Consistory with three other members of the ancient accepted Scottish Rite of Masonry. The time was midwinter in the moon of Niskowugni. The appointed time when the great Thanksgiving of the Senecas takes place in the 9-day celebration. During the season of gratitude to the Great Spirit, the various fraternities and ceremonial associations hold sessions, and a few of them give public exhibitions. Not so, however, with the one whose work is all in secret and into whose chamber only those purified and loyal are admitted. Now, this is interesting. Because Freemasonry at this point in 1919 was absolutely secretive. Super secretive. And then it even goes in, even if you say, well, that might not be Freemasonry, but the very next line gives you a clue as to who the hell they're talking about, because it says, and in whose chamber only those purified are loyal and committed.
And loyal are admitted.
And admitted, excuse me. So, I mean, again, we've talked about it before. What do we got in that corner behind the secretary's desk, Ken?
That would be the Chamber of Reflection in your lodge, George.
That sounds like a reference to the Chamber of Reflection, which is...
Or some precursor ritual that you have to go through.
But that's specific to Freemasonry.
Right, yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, he's pretty much calling out the Masons right there without calling out the Masons. The guide led on, the four followed, three being candidates for initiation. The glimmering light held by the guide cast an uncertain ray upon the trail that penetrated the moonless winter night. And it was not an easy path, nor were there sound afoot on this trail to that which was sought. At length the lodge was reached. Behind drawn curtains there were faint gleams of light. Four sharp knocks were given, and the door opened a crack while a sentinel stepped out to examine who craved admission. A curious passerby may have seen. Let me get to the next sentence. So let's break this down real quicker. He's talking about a guide with three candidates. A glimmering light held by the cast, and you kind of make it. It sounds like they're outside, right?
Yeah, the journey starts outside the lodge.
But if you think about it, listen to what it's saying here. It's a moonless night, winter night, which means it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
It was not an easy path, nor there was a sound of foot on this trail, which means they're not walking outside. They're inside the anteroom or the preparation room, because the next line is, at length, a lodge was reached.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they were outside.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it as, at length, the lodge was reached behind drawn curtains. So, I mean, you're not going to have a door as a curtain.
No, but at length means, like, after time.
Okay.
It kind of makes me feel like they were, I mean, this is, you got to understand that this is kind of like in a rural area, too. It's not like here in a city where, so it's like to get to the lodge to begin with, it kind of makes sense that they would start the ritual outside.
Okay.
And say, okay, well, it's a moonless winter night. The path is treacherous. You have a guide, right? It kind of like adds to the overall Entered Apprentice degree or a lot of the degrees in Freemasonry. I know this is Scottish Rite, but it makes sense that they would do that because, like, that's what you have in your environment.
Okay.
And to Native Americans, that which is in nature is holy. So it kind of makes sense that they would do it this way.
What I'm thinking is, and who's York Rite? Anybody York Rite?
We're York Rite.
Yeah, we're York Rite as well. Think about that degree. Remember, it's like, come on, brothers. Remember, he's tagging you along. You have to walk over rivers and stuff. That's kind of where my head was at.
There's also something similar in the Garibaldi degree.
Yeah.
Right. Yep, and that's kind of where I was going at, where you're not technically, quote,
similar.
You're not technically, quote, unquote, outside, but you're portrayed that you're outside. You got to go over this long trail in order to get where you're going.
Yep. But if you're out on a reservation, then, like, you have that already.
I'm going to do a sweat
so time. You don't need to, like, mock it up in a lodge. You just go and
fair
walk
point.
The trail.
No,
you know?
You're absolutely right.
Which I kind of think is cool. Like, I think that would add something to a degree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, we're waiting until July. It's being out there during initiation freezing my ass off. I'm good.
It's pretty warm out there now. Yeah, we don't want to do that in the winter here.
No. A curious passerby might have seen but a hurried glance that the form of the lodge was oblong and there were two altars, upon one of which was placed a tray of incense and a heap of strange paraphernalia. But the door...
Know what that is.
But the door soon closed, and the hours afterwards, the sounds of peculiar chant. A blend of wild forest sounds mingled with strange rushing noises like that of a great cataract floated out from the walls of the lodge house. What was happening within? Interesting.
I like the way this is authored.
Yeah, right? They leave it up to...
very mysterious.
Yeah, they leave kind of up to...
kind of like you're hearing it from the viewpoint of somebody who doesn't know any better what's going on and is just kind of curious and overhears these things.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to... I want to go too deep into reading every single one of these because, you know, it's up to you. Do your damn homework if you're interested in this topic because I'm not your damn, what is it, friggin' read-along?
Narrator,
yeah.
So ain't reading
we're
going to
be skipping around a little bit. So, but if you want to look at this article, it's wikisource.org, American Indian Freemasonry. So I'm going to skip ahead, and actually we're going to go to how did American Indian Freemasonry originate? So let's kind of talk about that. Among many of the Indian tribes, there were ceremonial societies and fraternities that exercised a considerable influence. I got like a glare on my screen. The Jesuits in their missionary tours among the Hurons early in the 17th century made note of the co-fraternities among the tribes of Canada. In later years, the publications of several learned societies and institutions have given us records of...
Ethnologists.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And anthropologists, by which we learn of the very great number of Native societies, associations, and fraternities. Thank you, sir. We cannot mention them all, but it would be a mistake not to call attention to the fraternities of the Zuni and the other Pueblo-dwelling peoples. These had elaborate lodge rooms, or kivas, and their altars were decorated and dedicated to the powers of nature.
I heard that term point in the past. I feel like I had an anthropology course in college or something that talked about this.
The Pueblos?
Yeah, the terms like Zuni, Kivas, like that's all, it rings a bell to
me. When I lived in Colorado, they have famous Pueblo dwellings. They actually were carved into the sandstone that's out there.
That's nice. Cool.
Yep. So they had whole villages that were in like the sides of mountains that were kind of hidden from plain view, but it was all little apartment corridors, and they had carved it out. So that's pretty interesting. Imagine going to a lodge inside, you know, the crevice of a mountain that was hand carved.
Yeah. That would be cool. You know? I also want to do a sweat tent. I'm dead serious.
Yeah,
do a sweat tent and freaking eat some peyote. Yeah, let's make a ayahuasca, day out of this.
Ayahuasca is like a big thing.
Podcast road trip.
Oh my god! Right. I don't need to go on any like spiritual journey with you, like, vision quest with George Mudry.
Be like eating bath salts. I'll eat your face off.
It sounds like
only if we can wear togas. I'm in.
It sounds like a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
You'll be
situation.
Fine. Suck it up, Buttercup. You'll be all right.
Yes, sir.
I'm just a little guy here. What are you afraid of me for? I will bite the shit out of your ankles, though.
I bet I can eat more peyote than you.
You probably could. You're bigger than me. I have a small appetite.
Challenge?
Challenge accepted. Anyway, among the Pawnees were a number of important societies, one of most being the Hakko. Hakko?
Yeah, Hakko.
We'll go with that. The Navajos had their cults in the Ouija?
Ojibwa.
Of the north and their middle, Wywin. Mm. All right. Why the fuck do I always pick the articles of the friggin' words that are the most difficult to speak?
It's an ancient language.
God!
Yeah, that's true.
Every single time I'm like, oh, let's do this topic. It's always like...
Yeah, take solace in the fact that not everybody knows, like, Iroquois, man.
This was not your fault, yeah.
Likewise, the Iroquois had and still have their can
Honoche Noga.
Got it. And their
Hadidos.
And their secret and their society of charm holders and many others. Yeah, so
this they have their own societies.
They got their own
that
shit.
Were you know, completely separate from Freemasonry and probably evolved long before Europeans came here and brought Freemasonry.
Right.
They had their own.
Yeah, definitely.
Of,
yep.
But you could definitely see that there could be an absolute blending of things that they had traditions. And that's kind of what Freemasonry does, right?
Yep.
We kind of take other traditions and other things that secret societies and or religion, and we kind of all blend that into one giant smorgasbord of more morality lessons.
Yep.
It's all centered around a core philosophy that's shared amongst all participants and all members.
Right. So you can totally see how this could eventually become... What's the word I'm looking for, Ken, where things blend together in a sense?
Mainstream.
Amalgam.
Yeah, they kind of start to blend together.
Assimilated.
There you go. That's what I was looking at.
It's a good one.
The Indians, in some instances, drew moral lessons and analogies from the art of building their longhouses and other dwellings, but for the most part, their symbolism was drawn from the study of the temple of nature.
Meh.
They knew of no Hebrew legends or records, and names of Zerubbabel, Solomon, Hiram King of Tyre, or Aaron were strange to them.
Which makes total sense, right? So they're kind of coming from their own cultural tradition, which is completely, completely separate from European influences.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting how it evolved for them.
So I'm going to segue just a quick second here. Reading this, I love, and I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, in today's society and everything, it's like, oh, the white man came and gave the typhoid blankets, and it was like they treat like... You know, like Europeans came over here and just started wiping out Indian societies, but that's not entirely accurate. You have a blending right here that they're talking about. I mean, yes, did it happen? Absolutely.
Some bad things definitely.
Bad things definitely happened.
You know that syphilis was brought back to Europe from Columbus's first voyage.
But he was a dirty fuck.
They had no recordings of civil. Yeah, so there you go. He was a
sailor. You know they go port to port. I mean,
there was a good swapping of diseases going on back then. You
exactly.
Know, unintentionally.
Good clarification.
But my point being is that, you know, you do have things along this line right here where we taught each other lessons.
Yeah,
in a positive light. Yeah. Yep. You did have some shitbags who were money hungry, land hungry, and power hungry that did bad things. I mean, even happens today. I mean, you're seeing it in Ukraine. Like, you're seeing it to this day. But not everybody was like this. And right here is a perfect example of where you're eventually going to get a collision of
common ground, and common
lessons that can be passed back and forth from culture to culture.
Yep.
So... Here we go. On the other hand, there were societies that used sacred words, some of which being, which might be mentioned in a low breath, usually to Ken or Joe, it's fuck you.
Yeah.
And some never accept within the lodge. So he's basically talking about our passwords and grips and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the secrecy and the sacredness of the meaning of some words, they lost their meaning and were used only because they were ancient and were supposed to have magical value. There are many lost words, and in some instances, certain portions of rituals were not intelligible because nearly every word was a portion of a lost ritualistic language. And that's true. That's how I feel about our ritual today. I really do. I feel like there's portions of our ritual that have been lost or altered or changed over time. I mean, it's think about it. It's a game of telephone, right?
Yeah, it wasn't always documented in plain language either. Grand Lodges started to do that in some jurisdictions, obviously, to create a consistency in how the work is done. But it wasn't always like that.
And you also had, you know, grandmasters who put in shit that didn't need to be put in there, like, you know, Freemasonry's use of its, you know, yeah,
right about
penalties
the,
or
right about the time the water started getting fluoridated.
That's when they put that passage into the ritual. Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
I was trying to figure out the timing on that. I'd have to go back and
they put in certain lines that made you feel good that nothing bad was going to happen to you, which it doesn't. But I mean, you don't got to come out and say it.
Freemasonry's continued use of its imprecations.
Shut up,
Buzz Killington. Buzz Killington.
It is a buzzkill. Like,
worshipful master.
Let him think we're going to freaking lop his head off and throw it out the freaking window. What's the problem? Like, anyway. Let him find out the hard way.
I understand the logic on both sides of that, but we're not here to debate it.
This guy.
What? You got to look at both sides. Like,
I don't need to look at both sides. Only my side, damn it.
Only George's side matters, but I look at both sides.
Listen, I got three big-ass dudes next to me. I got to act tough at least a little bit.
Okay.
Got to show your balls, right?
Get my really ass, don't.
I can get my ass kicked at any point in time, right?
You really
I'm
don't.
A little guy. I'll get mauled over here. So if I like a chihuahua, you know, they're like,
yeah, like a
they
little
keep
guy.
The big dogs at bay. That's kind of what I'm doing here.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on. So where the hell did I leave off? Right here. There could be no doubt that certain Indian societies had secret words of their meanings that their members might use in conversation or as signals. The possession of ritualistic words that belong exclusively to the cult of fraternity were jealously guarded. So Indians had their own type of words and stuff. What do we got, Ken?
I was just looking over at the comments, and there's nothing really new here outside of foraging with Justin Michael. Says, sounds like this one involves psilocybin.
Oh, yeah.
So, magic mushrooms, I guess.
That's what I'm thinking. Peyote. Something along those lines. Sweat plate. Sweat
different
things.
Different chemical.
Smoking a peace pipe.
It's like ayahuasca. I don't know.
Ayahuasca is from a vine. I believe a peyote is a cactus.
A little cactus. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would have brought some Kenny Kinnick. I didn't know that this was going to be the topic today.
Let's see here. Words were things. Names were things. So deeply was this doctrine inculcated that the man's very name could be taken from him by proper authorities. Oh, so it's kind of like what the Indians name their names, like Crazy Horse, you know, Ken. Yeah. Ken would be Two Dog Shitting. I mean,
there's a lot of Indians.
What?
Well, they get their
there's a lot of parallels.
They get their names from nature. It's kind of what they're
a lot of parallels between Italians and Native Americans. I find more and more. Besides the guy from the 70s commercial, the crying native with the pollution and the trash. That was really an Italian actor.
Oh, that's right.
Like a chief, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
I'm gonna say.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was an Italian
guy. The whole nickname thing is pretty spot on. Like, you know, you don't go by your real name in Italy. They all give you like a, it's almost like a tribal name, you know?
No,
that's
shit.
That's a Big Kev over there down at the end. This is Joey Biggs over here.
Ken, you're up for reading.
What?
My MacBook went kapooey.
Okay, I will continue.
Read,
then.
Bitch.
This is George Angry Bear.
George Angry. Right.
Angry Care Bear.
Angry Puppy. So nice he could job. Likewise be forbidden to utter certain words, which is interesting, because words and names were property and might be used or shared by those justly entitled to receive the same. So words had tangible value. Mm. In their societies, right? Like, your name could be taken from you. Your given name isn't, like, God-given. It's, like, given by the tribe. The tribe can take it back, right? So that's kind of interesting.
You know, that's interesting. Different that's also similar system. To medieval, right? In medieval, you could be stripped of your surname.
Your title, and yeah.
If you, you know, if you disgraced your house or whatever.
Yep. The masonry of the Indians as builders and as philosophers dealing with moral truths grew out of their experiences with nature and with the actions of humankind. The wise men of the tribes knew that a band of men pledged to uphold morality and to enact rituals showing its advantages would constitute a dynamic influence. So they already had these concepts of,
right,
you know, a subset of the tribe coming together and meeting together as like a fraternal organization. So Freemasonry made sense to them when it came. That's interesting.
Yep, that's interesting. Yep. Could you imagine like having them talking about their ritual, you know, over a freaking peace pipe and a freaking beer or whatever the hell they were doing, you know what I mean? Yeah. And just like, I mean, they oh, had no those, shit, we do the same thing.
Yeah, they had those types of rituals before. So it's like, you know, it's, some of these things I think are kind of like innate to being.
That's pretty cool, man.
I think these are kind of like innate human things too, right? Like that we come together in small tribes and organizations and groups. Like that's like it's a uniquely human thing.
Part because, of the human condition.
Yeah, because yeah. We're better as a group. It makes sense that even, you know, completely abstracted from European influence, a group of humans would come together and form much the same kind of smaller organizations and share things like moral principles and lessons with one another.
Yeah.
So, no shocker there. What else did you want to go over in this article, George?
I really didn't really have much other. I figured we'd just talk about it at this point because, I mean, it's talking about, you know, the religious life. And I was kind of looking for something before my computer died.
So, I related to the topic, not probably not included in this article. I know.
Wait. Is that Indian wearing an apron?
No. So this is actually a line drawing of a sentinel from the Society of False Faces. So this is actually like a group within the Iroquois Nation. It's not Masonic, but you know it goes back further than that, I think. But he's basically the guard, the sentinel. I'll grab that and I'll put it up on the feed here.
Right on the border of East Haddam and Mudus in Connecticut, uh-huh. There's Mount Macamudus. It's a Mount Tom State Park.
Uh-huh. I know where that is.
So I don't know if you've ever been there. It's actually one of the few places you can go in Connecticut and probably the Northeast. It's been untouched by colonial or European settlement.
Oh, no kidding.
The reason is because that mountain specifically, it's also known for making odd noises. There's some kind of geographical phenomenon that there's loud noises that come from the center of the mountain. They don't know if it's tectonic plates rubbing or something. Well, the natives believed that one of their deities lived inside the mountain.
So bring a pistol. Continue.
Bring a pistol. Well, the colonists never, ever went there because they were terrified because the tribes from all over the Northeast would meet there and have ceremonies and powwows. And it would be warring tribes that would normally be sworn enemies would be meeting there to worship together. So, you know, the white man was basically like, I'm not going over there because something's going on.
Guys at the bottom of the hill like,
yeah, he
get fuck that.
So, yeah, so, I'm good. So you know, East Haddam or Haddam got colonized, and they stayed away from that mountain. Well, I wonder if there was any kind of Native Masonic ceremonies, because for sure there were powwows, and I've been up there with my cousin, who's actually our brother from Harmony, who's a historian, and he actually identified a Native American quarry. That was up there, but I wonder if that might have been in a location where they would have went to do some types of ceremonies like this, because it does hold strong significance. And actually, when I was living in Colorado, I had the opportunity to make friends with a Native girl who was a Cheyenne, and surprisingly enough, she told me that when laugh it up,
no. Made friends,
yeah. When she was on the reservation.
Yep.
Part of like their folklore that they learned of their culture was a story about two characters named Haddam and Mudus.
Right.
And she had never been to Connecticut, didn't even know that they were towns named that. And when I was telling her about this place, she said, "My God, there's a story that we're told like in, you know, in the sweat lodge about two witches, one was Haddam and one was Mudus."
Hey, Ken, write this down. Podcast road trip, part
well,
two.
Well, I mean, we should go there because I actually have...
it's gorgeous.
Women go off the reservation.
My family has some property on a river, actually, in...
Is it the Salmon River?
In that area. Yeah, the Salmon River.
Yeah, yeah. So the mountain
is... We should definitely
The
go.
Mountain is where the two rivers meet. It's gorgeous. Okay. I mean, and when you hike through...
Yeah, I mean, we got frontage, so we can take a couple kayaks and just go sweat
it.
Lodge in the backyard.
Until I hear a sound that I'm like, nope, I'm too small. I'm out.
No,
sounds
yeah.
Like I'm taking the boat, Joe.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
do this. We got to do a road trip.
It's fantastic, and yeah. I mean, like, it's one of the best places I've been to hike. It's gorgeous, but there's a
yeah,
lot of
beautiful there.
There's a lot of significance to their history that's in this particular piece, and it's mostly known for the noises the mountain makes. People don't even realize that it's got such a historical significance to Native culture.
Wow, we've got to.
I'm
going to
say
trip.
We do this then. Yeah. In. We invite yeah. Scott Walter.
We could bring Scott Walter with us.
Yeah. Find some freaking shit written on rocks and stuff. He could tell us what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, next to this mountain, there's an area called the Devil's Hop Yard, and
yep.
it's known
yep.
for having all the caves. That's where yep. the natives actually live. So I'd like to. Oh. Problem is, it's private. A lot of it's private property, but I'd like to go there because that's where you find arrowheads and artifacts because they actually lived in those caves and mm-hmm. made
that's
all the
cool.
stuff in there.
Let's go.
But yeah,
I'm down.
Field trip.
More so this than Charles Island.
Yeah, Charles Island was like that was a dead project before it even got off the ground.
Yes, it was. We were going to dress up like pirates and swim over to the freaking Charles Island yeah. and look for the treasure.
Charles Island
off of Milford?
Yeah, in Milford, yeah.
I could walk over there.
Yeah, but you can't, though, because it's all...
It's still protected
it's like
land.
Protected yeah, land yeah. and stuff.
You're not
but
supposed to?
You'll get arrested.
You'll get arrested
really?
On spot.
I've been on there like
I've been
four
on
or five
there.
Times.
Really?
As a kid, yeah.
I was going to say, there's been more white men in Charles Island than in Madonna.
So,
anyway, I just wanted to quickly call out before I forget that there's a new sign on the wall over there behind George and
yes,
Joe. I don't know if you want to talk about that at all, George.
Yes, we have a certain young lady who gave us this sign behind us, and I want to thank her for it. And we love it.
I'll move for a second.
And we lit it up.
We lit it up.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yes, we did.
A little bit of backlighting. Yeah, we're legit now. And now I'll transition over and show this picture of the Sentinel that I was talking
about
earlier.
Sentinel.
Here. So it looks like, let's see if I have any kind of description here.
Wait, can I bring this up?
Society of False Faces. Oh, I guess they don't really describe it at all. They just kind of have the little caption underneath that says it's a sentinel of the Society of False Faces. The False Face Company is one of the most spectacular of the Iroquois. And he's wearing an interesting mask and headdress. And I'm not really sure what's going on. It looks like some kind of like percussion instrument or something that's supported by...
It's a tortoise shell with...
Oh, a tortoise shell,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, it's like attached to a trunk here of a tree, and he's hitting it, and he's got a piece of wood. So it looks like somebody that I wouldn't want to mess with. I mean, sentinel usually means guard. And
yeah.
You know, if you're carrying some like really weird crap, I'm
could
just
you imagine going to the
crazy.
Door?
Yeah.
Could you imagine going to the door and it open up and seeing this dude's face right
yeah,
here with the thing?
Like, all right.
Whoa. Yeah. No, I'm good, man.
Yeah,
just I'm looking for a gas station.
Mind.
I'm out. I'm good.
Change my mind.
Yeah. Turtle shell and a tomahawk.
Yeah.
And he's like, give me the secret word. You're like, I don't speak Iroquois. It's like, George is dead.
There's nothing I got. I'm done.
A bigwa? Boom, right now.
Oh, yeah, George wouldn't stand a chance.
Nice.
This is a great article, though. So this is actually on wikisource.org, and it's about American Indian Freemasonry. It's quite a lengthy article, too, and there's a lot of really cool kind of old-looking line drawings of these degree rituals. And
look at that image. Looks like the bear is taking his entered apprentice degree or his master mason.
The bear is taking his master mason. It's actually the Animal Council raising to life the founder of Little Water Society. So obviously in Native American traditions, you guys are familiar with the fact that animals have a special spiritual value to them.
Everything has a spirit. Everything is interconnected.
Yeah. So here there's actually a drawing of all of these different forest animals coming together and basically having a Masonic degree. Let me put this up here.
I'm getting ragged on about my hair.
Why? Lack of it?
Yeah. They're saying George is still rocking the old landing strip.
Yeah.
All right.
Highest of high and tights. This is called balding.
It's kind of how he rolls.
The fade started down here.
Listen, I just finished what God started, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, here's
I had a teacher in high school who said, God didn't make everyone's head perfect. The ones he did, he made bald.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Me, I look like I got a I look like I got smashed in the head with a friggin' hammer because I drop off midway here.
Nobody can see you anymore anyway because I actually have a picture up of the Animal Council raising to life the founder of the Little Water Society. So
very
there's,
cool.
There's Mr. Yogi the Bear there taking his MM degree.
He's
upon the altar
degree.
While Coyote watches on and Beaver over there in the corner. It's kind of cool. I like it. There's like every animal that I've seen in my trail cameras in my backyard is like represented in this photo.
Well, I mean, you can kind of look at it one of two ways. One, the Native Americans, they took signs from nature, and yeah. You know, a lot of their I don't say all, but a lot of their headdresses and a lot of the things that they represented are no different than like what the Romans used to do. Like you had like Caesar was like, I don't know, the pelican or something like that, and Brutus was like the bull and all that stuff. They all took their sigil, right?
Yep.
So Native Americans, in a sense, did the same exact thing. Like one guy would have the head of a coyote over the top of his head, and you know what I mean, yep. Stuff along those lines. The other way you could look at it is, nice.
Yeah,
not bad, right?
Yeah, not bad. We're Indians today. We share.
Yeah, exactly. My peace spot. But, you know, and the other, so you can attribute it to that is one, you can look at it as like animals taking, you know, their Masonic oath or their fraternal oath or whatever you want to call it. Or you can represent, that could be people being represented as animals.
So it actually is.
That's what it is, right?
So the ritual here that backs this says, so this is just a little piece of the ritual here, and it may or may not be 100% accurate, but that's how it's depicted here. The leader who is Red Hand trusts and waits until a strong voice from the darkness comes saying, "Hast thou cleansed thyself from human guilt and impurity?" "I have," Red Hand replied. "Hast thou ill will toward any of thy fellow creatures?" Does this sound familiar?
Yes, it does. Okay.
"I have
like
not."
Our opening.
Yeah. "Wilt thou trust and obey us, keeping thyself always chaste and valorous?" "I will." "Wilt thou hold this power with which we endow thee for thine own chosen company only?" So secrecy, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
"I will." And then, "Wilt thou endure death or torture in its cause?" Again.
Yep.
"I will."
Similar.
"Wilt thou vow the secret never to be revealed save at thy death hour?" "I will." So it's
same
pretty.
I mean, spot on.
Damn serious. Yeah.
Sounds like getting married.
Except you're getting married to all these forces.
I've always wondered that. So you have to renew your pistol permit every 5 years. You got to renew your driver's license every 5 years. How come you like the marriage license is for life? You should have the option to renew it after 5 years. No.
Don't give Connecticut any ideas here.
Yeah,
they're gonna want money for that.
Yeah, we have enough.
I just wouldn't renew it.
Most people probably wouldn't.
Just saying, you should have an opt out clause at some point. This way, it don't cost $30,000 down the road. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah. $30,000 is cheap.
I'm totally gonna get fucking hate mail for this.
It's 60 if you do it twice.
Fair point. So anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, it's pretty. That's pretty spot on to what our ritual is. I mean, it ain't far off.
Very interesting,
but pretty cool how that's all intermixed.
Well, it all parallels. You know, the brotherhood of man, the fatherhood of God. That's one of our mottos, and that's something that's definitely shared.
Right.
And if your God is cultures. If your God is nature, and you have the same kind of like moral imperatives that most societies do, right? Because you can't just do whatever you want. You can't go murdering people. It doesn't work, right? So everybody kind of comes to the same sort of underlying.
That was the main point in the Scottish Rite Native American degree, was that they were Masons because they believed in a creator.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have call them by the same name. They didn't have the same, you know, image depicted as like a Judeo-Christian of like an old man in the clouds, but they believed that there was a creator, so they were.
Yep.
They were
so
just,
it really doesn't
just
matter.
Lawful brother Masons.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. You can still take those obligations in the name of that creator, and you clearly have the same kind of set of moral values because.
And that's a beautiful thing coming from a time where people were like skinning each other and committing genocide, you know, to be able to.
Right.
Sit and smoke a peace pipe by a campfire. And,
And if you really think about it, we were kind of joking about the sweat tents and all that stuff. But if you really think about it, it ain't far off of our chamber of reflection. It's got the same concept, going in there and wrestling with your demons.
Yep.
That's pretty much what the chamber of reflection is. Funny thing is, though, with our chamber of reflection, like the sweat tents. I think you stay in there for hours, right?
We sweat in ours. We have no AC in our lodge room, so it's
You guys have a chamber of reflection?
through no fault of our own.
Does Harmony have a chamber of reflection?
No, we have a preparation room. We don't do the chamber of reflection, but...
By choice or by...
I just, as long as we've been raised, it wasn't a thing, so...
Well, I know you guys were doing some renovations up there in the library or something. I know if you were going to freaking find some closet and stuff somebody in there.
I mean, it would take some work and some convincing to do that. Obviously, if like your lodge has it as part of its traditions, it's a lot easier, right? You guys move up here, you build the chamber, you're good. But yeah, we would have to.
I personally like the chamber reflection.
Yeah,
because
I like
it's
it
a
too.
Nice beginning to what you're going to go through.
And in York, right, it's compulsory. And
yep, right.
Like I thought it was a great. I mean, that was my first introduction to it. I thought it was super powerful.
Yeah.
You know,
and realistically, I mean, it's funny though because the sweatshops, the sweatshop. Jesus Christ. We're not talking about Martha Stewart. The sweat tents. You sit in there for hours, correct? If I'm not, you sit in there for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, like, when the stewards are outside and the guy's been in there for more than, like, freaking 3 minutes and you're like, is he dead? Like, because you tell him, like, knock on the door when you're done. And they're literally sitting there and you're like, fuck.
No, they're still.
He's been in there for like 25 minutes. Like, should we go check on him? And do we bring the AED? Like,
it's the correct way to approach that kind of.
He's in the corner shitting in a bucket because he's scared to death. Like, it's freaky going into a chamber reflection. Let's not lie. Like, it's a pitch black room with a skull in front of you. Like, and we're telling you, you know, read the good book, and if you're an asshole, you know, we're going to throw you out of here, you know?
Yeah.
But, so it's got a little bit of intimidation factor to it, which is why I know some lodges don't like it, because they say it's, but, I mean, it's a way of, in a sense, purifying before your degree.
Right.
Yep.
No different than a sweat tent before Indian rituals or whatever the case
is. And reflecting on your life.
And reflecting on your life,
yeah. So there's actually a kind of cool postscript in this article that's written by the Buffalo Consistory here. It says, in the halls of Buffalo Consistory, AASR, which is ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, is a splendid collection of Indian artifacts collected from the ancient forts, village sites, and burial places of the Indians who lived in western New York from early to recent times. This collection brought together through the unceasing efforts of, there's some...
George L. Tucker.
Yeah, some people who get some props here for helping to... donate to this cause, but it constitutes a museum of antiquity and illustrates the handiwork of the American Indians. So there's actually, you know, you can go here and walk through all these artifacts that they've found and look
awesome.
At these exhibits and see all this stuff for yourself. So if you happen to be in the Buffalo area in upstate New York for on vacation or something like that, this might be something to look into and check out.
Nice.
Take some pictures and send them to us.
So what do you think, brother? Think we beat this one to death?
Yeah, this was fun.
This was a good one. I like this one. Much better than freaking General Worcester.
I didn't participate in that one. So.
Yeah, well, the general, or the what's his name? Worcester. Yeah, we thought there was going to be more to him. Not really. So we literally talked for a half hour, and that was it.
Yeah, I watched that one. It was good, though.
Yeah, there wasn't much to him. I thought there was going to be more. I mean, he's a Revolutionary War general. I mean, he was father of Connecticut Freemasonry, and then I looked through like four different articles. I couldn't find anything else. Like, yeah, he was a Mason, and he got shot in the face. End of story. Like, so that kind
of
stuff.
Which is sad. Like, somebody with that level of influence on Connecticut Masonry and during the wars and stuff, you would think would have a little bit more.
I'm sure there's a lot written about him, like throughout Friends.
George just couldn't find it.
No, I just couldn't find it. You know what? I probably should have looked. You know what? I should have looked. I should have looked in the Grand Lodge.
Oh yeah, the Grand Lodge archives.
They probably would have had articles about him, but I didn't.
Or
think of it.
You know what? The the Philosophic Lodge of Research probably has papers about this guy. I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure
we could find and talk a little bit about in one of these.
I thought you were
going
to mention Worcester Square in New Haven. You know, Puppy's Pizza. Sally's
delicious.
Anthony Wurst, glad to have finally been able to join y'all on a live. Glad to have you, man.
Is that your dad thumbs upping us there, Joe?
My father.
Is that
Traveler? So George, how many times have you had to explain my picture over there?
It's up there, Papa Pisani.
Oh, good to see you, brother. That's Brother Holiday. The picture. Haven't really had to explain it. Guests and stuff who come up and
don't ask. Don't
when
tell.
The lodge gets pissed off, they're like, spin that picture around. We got dignitaries up here. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care.
How about that one?
The one right behind
you. That
your
one
head
right behind you. That's Brother Holiday.
He's trying really hard not to turn around and look at her.
I haven't had to explain it except for, whatever. My own lodge pitched a bitch a little while ago, but told him, deal with it.
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean, they make it sound like he's like freaking like doing porn or something over here. It's literally
he's not naked,
a brother in the George Costanza pose in Seinfeld. Like,
He's got clothing on.
He's got clothing on. I mean,
they're like,
people get so offended by everything.
Assuming I'm blocking the picture from the camera.
You are a little bit. Yeah. We can see his face, but not the rest of his body. But it's probably better that way.
What do we say, brothers?
Yeah, this is good. It's always good having you guys up here on the
show,
too.
Thanks,
Joe always brings great wine.
As always,
thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome to come whenever you'd like.
Thank you.
Ken can give you the schedule, and
yep,
you guys can come up whenever you'd like. So, anyway, I think we lock it up. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm good.
I got to go to a baseball game. So
Yes. We do have responsibilities with the children.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So, for the Freemasons podcast, I am Right Worshipful Brother George Marjorie signing off.
Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe Pisani, thank you for having me.
Senior Stewart, Harmony Lodge number 42, Kevin Kozlowskis, thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
Take care, everyone.
Shut that shit down.